SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Twisted Tuesday. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Moretti. The pitch, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, the Rick Saratellas and everybody else in between. Rick Saratella is already hard at work on the 2026 NFL Draft Bible, allaccessfootball.com. In the house, Rick, it's always a pleasure. I always get excited and fired up to talk football with you. Let's do this thing. How you doing tonight?
Oh, baby, it's my favorite time of the week, Gabriel Moretti, talking football with you. What else better is there to do?
Well, I appreciate that because you do a lot of great hits throughout the week with some very, very good people, including Brian Baldinger, who I enjoy the hits and his work as well. But as far as the draft is concerned, next year's in Pittsburgh, so you know, we know that's going to be hardcore. But we've got an East Coast one coming up in a couple of years. What do you think of the Washington Mall of America announcement, in which they're hoping to get over 1 million people?
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting. I saw that press conference, by the way. They reiterated that, didn't they? They repeated that sentence. We expect 1 million people, right? So Detroit right now had 800,000. They're the number one on the pecking order. Hey, Green Bay, I think they're the 139th ranked market in the United States. They did very well. 600,000 people came out for the festivities. And aside from the COVID-19 year, this was the most watched NFL draft of all time. So it's just a spectacle that keeps growing and growing and growing. And who would have thunk it? You had to move out of New York City to grow this event. And I was definitely not a proponent of it at first, but it has been fruitful.
That really is amazing, isn't it, to think back to like Radio City Music Hall. And to now, in which you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people and potentially millions of people. You know, one thing about the draft, and I've said this, and people in Green Bay, they partied hard through it, even though it was raining and the weather wasn't great. But the Super Bowl is expensive. The draft is free. You know what I mean? Just point blank. Like, it's like a gathering. Remember, like, you know, when you were at the Grey Cup, you saw? It's kind of a gathering of fans, like in the CFL. Even if your team didn't make it to the Grey Cup, you saw people were all wearing their jerseys. It's like, no, I come no matter who's playing. Mm-hmm. The draft is sort of like that. Like, you know what I mean? Pockets of fans from each team show up and basically just drink for a couple of days and scream.
Yeah. No, it's so good. And you have all the mascot, like all the crazy fans, license plate guy. Eagles,
yeah, the super fans all show up and stuff. Yeah.
So it definitely is. Because
fans of every team aren't going to the city of the Super Bowl when the Super Bowl is being played, right? No. They'll go to Vegas, right? They'll go to Atlantic City. You know, they'll go to a sports book, but they're not going to the city to party because it's expensive. So the draft brings a different dynamic. There's a lot of excitement about this Washington football team right now, now called the Commanders. I didn't even mean to call them the Washington football team. That's like, that was just like a lot of excitement about this Washington football team right now. Called the Commanders now, but they got the draft. They got the new stadium coming right now. They really came on. They made it to the conference championship game. We've seen this in the past, Rick, where, you know, these upstart teams come on and people think they're going to win. They're going to take the league over. The Cincinnati Bengals for Burrow. Remember, it was this time last year, people, oh, man, the Houston Texans, C.J. Stroud was unbelievable. What are they going to do now this year? Are you buying in that Washington continues this trajectory and remains one of the teams to beat to knock off the Philadelphia Eagles potentially?
I'll tell you, man, I'm drinking that burgundy Kool-Aid, Gabe. I mean, I'm a big advocate of
you're
what
rolling with the hogs in the mud.
I am, man. I am. Give me some of that hug.
Old school. Love,
yeah, I love me some hugs, some hug mollies, you know. Listen, this team is built. You talk about a young quarterback on his rookie contract and Jaden Daniels. It allows them to go out and sign and obtain guys like Laremy Tunsil. They double down with Josh Connerly in the draft. They bring in Deebo Samuel with scary Terry McLaurin. I mean, this team is just Dan Quinn defense. I think the two best teams in the NFC are in the East. The Eagles and the Commanders, I think, are going to be duking it out.
Are they, you know, what about the Philadelphia Eagles? It's always tough to sustain it, isn't it? Once you win, it's harder to win again after, right? It's tough. You know, players start to drift. Players want to get paid. Attitude starts to kick in. We saw that the last time the Philadelphia Eagles won, and they admitted it, right? Remember they said it was like 2 years after, and guys in the room are like, man, I don't even recognize like guys anymore in this room.
That's right.
Like people are completely different. Everybody's changed. And they knew that, and they reshuffled the deck, and they cleaned house in the room, and they brought in new guys. I don't get the sense that Jalen Hurts is a letdown guy. I don't get the sense that Saquon Barkley is a letdown guy right now. You know what I mean? I think A.J. Brown's already on to, like, on to next year. So I wouldn't really expect the Eagles to let down due to their success, do you?
No, I don't think so. They've been hurt by retirements a little bit the last couple years. Fletcher Cox, this year they had Brendan Graham. You know, they lost Milton Williams in free agency. But Howie Roseman has done a great job reloading with this roster. I mean, they've had, Gabe, they've had the best offensive line for like the past decade. They got Brown and Devonta Smith, 2,000-yard receivers with Dallas Goedert, Saquon Barkley, and a hell of a defense with Vic Fangio running it. So what's not to like? I think the Eagles and the Commanders and probably the Rams and the Lions are the four teams to beat in the NFC.
About the Lions, how do you think they lost like almost pretty much their entire coaching staff, like for the most part, right? Yeah. That's the down, you know, the downside of being so good and being successful, but they still have a damn good roster. A lot of people think like, you know, oh, Ben Johnson's not there anymore. But I still think that offense will be able to hum no matter who's calling the plays.
You know, it's funny, and I wish I could credit the person. I don't remember who put it out there, but they said, you know, the Lions are Matthew Stafford away from winning the Super Bowl. You know,
it's like, you said Goff is like what he was with the Rams now, that they need to trade back again to get over the top.
It's so true, though, because, like, Goff just has this ceiling, and he's a very good quarterback. But that's where he peaks. He's very good. He's not great. And, you know, listen, I don't know if Detroit has it in them. I just, you know, these teams that are on the come up, I like Philadelphia. I like Washington. I like the Rams. And then I like the Lions are right there, though. They got a lot of grit. You know, and then the AFC, you know, I like the Chargers on the come up, man. I think, you know, Chargers and Commanders are my Super Bowl exacta box for anybody out there who wonders.
Wow. That's a bold pick. Rick Saratella don't play around. He doesn't follow. Rick's not a sheep. Rick's a leader out there. Commanders and Chargers in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I just like how they're built, the Chargers from the inside out. They built in the trenches. They got a hell of a good quarterback. Ladd McConkey's a great weapon, but more importantly now, they have two competent running backs. You know, Harbaugh was trying to find a running back. Now he's got two of them, Hampton and Najee Harris, with a hell of a good defense. I like what the Chargers are all about, man. You saw a little bit something of this coming in the playoffs a year ago. I think this team's ready to take the next step.
So looking at the numbers, the Washington Commanders are 18-1 to win the Super Bowl. The LA Chargers, 25-1. And in fact, I would, you know, the Chargers, due to their lack of success, they're getting quite a lot of respect, actually. Like, they're not too low on the board. Like, your pick isn't like the biggest long shot in the world, per se.
Now, if you put in a Super Bowl exacta box, Chargers over.
We'll get you the number. We'll put this together for you.
200-1. Yeah,
200-1, eh? So. Washington Commanders versus the LA Chargers in the Super Bowl. Yeah, no one. I swear to God, I think you're going to be only one with this pick. You know what I mean? Like, it's out there. I don't think so much with the Commanders. I think the Commanders will be a trendy pick this year. But the Chargers, for the record, odds I'm looking at right now, Philadelphia Eagles +6.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Twisted Tuesday continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, Sports Grid Radio and Television Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. We're talking football with Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, and allaccessfootball.com. Rick, you know, life comes at us all pretty fast, and we really can't predict the future. But I got to tell you, I never would have predicted that Justin Tucker's career is kind of ending the way that it is right now, unless someone else picks him up. But I really don't see teams, you know, running to pick him up, considering all the controversy around him and the fact that he's not the same player that he used to be. And I can't get over the fact that Bill Belichick's life is being run by a 23-year-old girl. I can't comprehend thinking back to the Belichick coaching the Patriots with the hoodie on in the bad weather, and now the chaos behind the scenes at North Carolina's football program. Like they might as well have hired, like, you know, Jake Paul to be their coach. Like, can you imagine North Carolina? Never in a million years did they, you know what I mean? Or like the Tate brothers or something. Like, well, we don't want anyone controversial. It's the Bible Belt. Not in a million years did they ever imagine, like, this. They probably thought, listen, Belichick might be a jerk with the media. Will he have a hard time recruiting? You know, but let's see how this works out. I don't think they ever thought a million years and a 23-year-old girl would be his, like, his manager and calling the shots.
Yeah, Jordan is her name, and she's dunking on fools. I mean,
there's a new Jordan at Chapel Hill.
It's unbelievable, right? You know, somebody decided we're going to pay Bill Belichick, and Billy Ball said, we're going to throw a retirement party. I mean, this guy's on cloud nine. He's taking the money from Chapel Hill. He's got his Belichick Productions. Jordan is apparently the CEO.
Well, that's the thing I want to say about the Hard Knocks stuff. They were going to do a college edition of Hard Knocks because NFL teams don't want to do it. And it was great. Belichick was into it and stuff. And it turns out it got blown up because of her. Basically, the network said, yeah, we can't deal with this. Like, we're just tired of the demands. And it wasn't him. It was her.
Well, yeah, she wanted executive producer credit. They told her, take a hike, and we'll see you later. And then she bullies her way into the Dunkin' Donuts commercial. I don't know if you saw that one.
I heard about that story. She demanded she was in the ad, in a TV commercial with him.
Yeah, and it's a very short, brief moment, but she made sure that she was in that commercial. And then, you know, you get the story that before Billy Boy, she dated this 66-year-old CEO, and he comes out and says, well, she's really not a gold digger. Like, okay.
Yeah, I don't get into it too much. I'll keep it from the football, like just from the perspective. But I saw a story about how suddenly she's bought $9 million worth of property in the last couple of months, Rick. Where's this money coming from? Like, I think Bill's kids are going to start to, like, this is like some Casey Kasem stuff going on. Like, Casey's frozen, like, and he's in, like, Arizona, and, like, ice. Well, the new wife came in and boxed the family out, Rick, and took all the money. Like, this thing could end weird, bro. Like,
there is going to be a Netflix movie in five years. Yes. Right? It's just weird. It's bizarre. I think the best.
Do you think it'll work on the football field? Do you think he's going to succeed, or it's going to blow up this year?
I don't think so, Gabe. You know, he went in heavy now on the recruiting trails. Like, he's been in the mix for some hot, heated transfer portal guys. He struck out almost on every attempt. Like, he hasn't been able to reel in the big fish. Nico being the biggest one of them all, but I mean, he's lost out on these recruiting battles, and I don't see a lot of talent on this North Carolina program. I think it's more of a PR play at this point.
Rick Saratella in the house with us. Rick, I wanted to talk about a couple of players that we didn't get a chance to get to it last week that were undrafted, some of the undrafted free agents. And a player that you and I talked a lot about was Donovan Edwards over the years with the Michigan Wolverines. Yeah. His stock obviously dropped a lot. I mean, he went from the cover of EA Sports to being undrafted. But I like what the New York Jets did, and I also like what they did with Brady Cook. Talk to me about Cook, actually, a little bit, too. Quarterback out of Missouri who he was injured, but I think people are a little bit too critical of this kid, and they were too critical of his boy Luther Burton as well.
Yeah, you know, the Missouri offense struggled this past year. They took a step back. Burden saw a lot fewer targets this year, and I had a chance to scout Brady Cook at the Hula Bowl, where he did very well for himself. Clearly, he was the best signal caller down there. He earned himself a call-up to the East-West Shrine Bowl. I thought when he got to the next level at the Shrine Bowl, step up in competition, he struggled a little bit. I think he needs to speed up his processing a little bit more, but you're talking about a gamer who's faced live bullets, SEC battle-tested. I've watched Brady Cook bring back that Missouri Tigers team in those fourth quarter comebacks. So he's just a gutsy, he's a game time performer. You know, I really like that young man. And then Donovan Edwards, like, I don't know what the deal was this past year. We talked about it on this show. He just wasn't hitting that hole hard enough with the emphasis like years past. Maybe he had an injury, but I'll tell you what, one of the underrated elements of his game is his ability to catch the ball. And he could line up in the slot. He could be a slot receiver. He could be a weapon as a pass catcher out of the backfield. So I think he's going to give the Jets some depth in the backfield as a change of pace kind of back.
I get the feeling he's the type of dude that could be better in the NFL than he was in college somehow, too. Like, he can help a team, right? Like, you know, if you know, he knows his role. I think he can help a team.
What I'm he really needs excited. Is a guy like Deuce Staley or Eric Bieniemy to be on his ass and light a fire. That's what he needs.
Yeah, you know, Michigan tried, and, you know, that's almost a concern, too. Like, if you're a running back and they can't get you going there, well, you know what I mean? You got a problem. Which leads me into Justice Haynes, the transfer from Alabama. Michigan spent a lot of money on him, and Michigan don't have, you know this, they don't have any standout wide receivers. This is going to be a run-heavy offense once again, and this kid's going to get an opportunity to shine. Look at Edwards, got a chance to put up numbers. Mullings put up numbers. Blake Corum, now in the National Football League, put up big numbers, and I think he's a better athlete than all of them.
Yeah, we're going to get back to those Blake Corum days where we run left, run right, run up the middle with this Justice
Haynes. Is going to get like three touchdowns a game.
Oh, dude. And he's such a joy to watch because he has this
very Jameer Gibbs-like, huh? All right, we'll hit this some more on the other side with Rick Serratella. We're up against it. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Twisted Tuesday continues. Got a couple of more minutes with Rick Serratella talking football. We'll get to the Rookie of the Year odds and get Rick's take on that, but speaking of Justice Haynes, like I said, I'm not going to compare. I'm not going to say he's Jameer Gibbs, but he has a lot of the same traits and very explosive for a young player. Like, this kid really could be a superstar.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a pleasure to watch. He's got this hesitation about him, Gabe, which I was going to say before the commercial break, where he can stop and start on a dime, and then he's just gone. And his change of direction, his ability to make defenders miss in the open field, he's got breakaway speed, he can break tackles, he's got a compact frame. Like, there's a lot to like. And believe it or not, we're getting a little bit old. I remember his father coming out. He's a Georgia kid now, five-star out of Georgia. But his father was a fifth-round pick, Verron Haynes, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you remember, was a pretty good back in the day. So his son now, Justice Haynes, is a brick house. I like this.
Family pedigree. Love it. Rick Serratella kicking it with us. All right, Rick. Offensive Rookie of the Year odds. Ashton Jeanty is the co-favorite along with Cameron Ward. They're both at plus 275. So at Jeanty plus 275, Ward plus 275, Travis Hunter plus 750, T-Mac, McMillan, Arizona got drafted by the Carolina Panthers. He's 10-1. Hampton with the Chargers, North Carolina running back, is 14-1. Judkins is 16-1. Tyler Shock is 16-1. Travion Henderson. All right, I'm looking at Warren, 28-1. And how the hell did Warren fall as far as he did?
Man.
We didn't talk. Man, what's up with that? Like, they got a steal, bro. Like, they were a stat. Remember, like, we talked about the It wasn't even an afternoon strip club clap. The Cleveland Browns almost looked angry with shit. It was like, oh, God, oh, all right. Like, but the Colts were generally like, we can't believe this, that we got Warren. Like, they couldn't believe it.
Dream scenario, and to get my number three overall player on the board at 14, tremendous value. I asked about his rookie of the year odds just for his red zone mismatch touchdown capability. I mean, Kyler Warren can have 8 to 10 touchdowns this year without a doubt. He's that kind of weapon. Now, rookie of the year, I like Ashton Jeanty just because he's going to get fed. You know, Pete Carroll is going to lean on him. I could see him getting 300 touches, 350 touches, dare I say. Cam Ward is going to struggle. Not a lot of weapons. You have an offensive line that hasn't really worked with each other, so it's going to be a tough sledding out of the gates for Cam Ward. I can see double-digit interceptions, 12 to 15 interceptions for Cam Ward. Ashton Jeanty is probably the safest play there. McMillan probably is the biggest boom or bust risk-reward, I would say.
What do you think about the defensive side of the football? Abdul Carter is plus 250. Jalen Walker is plus 750. Mikel Williams is 9 to 1. Travis Hunter is 9 to 1. Mason Graham is 12 to 1. Mike Green, the kid out of Marshall, is 12 to 1. Kind of flew under the radar, right? He's not, you know, he didn't play at a big time school, so people didn't talk about him much. But Shamar Stewart is 14 to 1. Jahad Campbell is 16 to 1. What do you think about the defensive? James Pierce is 20 to 1. What do you think about the defensive side of the football?
Yeah, I think it could be somebody that you're not really thinking about, like a
Malachi Starks. Malachi 20 to 1.
Yeah, I mean, like him playing next to Kyle Hamilton, chess piece, mix and match, maybe create some turnovers. Walter Nolan is a guy I think he could, you know, like Brandon Fisk came in and brought that three technique interior pass rush presence. I could see Walter Nolan maybe
20 to 1. Nolan, he's 20 to 1.
Yeah, I could see somebody that you're not really thinking about that's going to come and just creep up on you like a gangbuster. Yeah.
Rick is saying that he's drinking the Burgundy Kool-Aid with the Commanders this year and the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, I'm not giving a Super Bowl exacta yet, but I'm buying in. And you know what? I don't think I could say, oh, I could live to regret this, but the win total is so low. It's 7.5 for the Atlanta Falcons. I like Michael Penix. I think Drake London's really ready to take the next step and become like a big-time star. Cousins struggled last year. I think Penix can get it going. You got Bijan Robinson. You bring in Xavier Watts. You bring in Birch. You bring in James Pierce right now. Come on. How do the Falcons not win 8 or more football games, Rick? You got 15 seconds to agree with me.
Yeah, Terry Fontenot is one of the most underrated GMs. Back-to-back strong drafts. They added cornerstone players. It's between the Falcons and Bucks in that NFC South.
It really is. They're gonna push them. I think Carolina's gonna be better. Always awesome stuff with Rick Serratella. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thanks to Rick Serratella for joining us. Well, I want to talk a little more football right now. We got our boy Mo Khan stepping up in him, but what a pitiful performance tonight. Pathetic performance by the Minnesota Timberwolves. Game one, hosting the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry leaves the game. You've been flat all day. You can't get anything going offensively. Defensively, you're not playing well either. You kind of hang your hat on defense. You're getting burnt by, you know what I mean, Draymond Green, like, and you know, Jimmy Butler's hitting these miracle threes. And you're down by 20. They went on a little 15-8 run. It looked like they were going to get back into it. They cut it to about 12, 13 or whatever. And we've seen a lot of comebacks in the NBA in the playoffs. So you sort of assumed, all right, Minnesota will go on a run. But they're not like some sort of offensive fire, you know what I mean, like firepower team that can rack up like a bunch of points fast. Right? They got to grind away and play defense, transition. Edwards is cold tonight. I took a prop, Edwards over 17.5 in game. He had 3 points, like, I think at the half or whatever. I think, what is he up to now? Let me see. Because I jumped in. He was at 10 with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. I don't know. I think they've only scored like 2 or 3 points since then, actually. So I don't know how many more points he has. But hopefully, you figure he goes on a little bit of a run here. Like, and Edwards just starts taking it to the rack to try to get him back into this basketball game. And I don't think they'll quit considering they're on their home court in game one here. They just hit a three. Let's bring in Mo Khan right now, our Mo Khan. And for the record, there's controversy out there on the internet with a dude named Mo Khan. But it's not our Mo Khan, and they spell their name differently. Mo Khan in the house. What's going on, Mo? How you doing tonight?
Better than the T-Wolves, better than the Capitals, and better than the Cavaliers tonight, Gabe. So it's been one of those type of nights. I thought it'd be a great night of sports, but so far we've had one out of the four games that I was looking forward to tonight that had a big impact with the Cavaliers and Pacers going down to the last shot as it was tonight.
Well, the Capitals... The Capitals and Canes goes to overtime. I thought that was a good game.
It was a one-sided game.
Yeah, it's Carolina and Washington. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those deals where they have good records, Mo, but no one really cares about Carolina and Washington. You know what I'm saying? like even though it was, I thought it was good hockey, but it's Carolina and Washington, so it doesn't have that. You know, like, people are like, oh, Vegas and Edmonton, oh, yeah, that's going to be good. Yeah. Oh, the Leafs and Panthers, right? Like, people get fired up for stuff. The Washington, Carolina, like, you know, it doesn't resonate with people for whatever reason in the same way. All right, so we got an 80-60 game right now after three quarters of play. I think it'd be a shy, it'd be a miracle if they came back 20 now going into the fourth quarter. So it's 80-60. In-game total is 191.5. The point spread is 12.5. Meanwhile, the Edmonton Oilers spotted Vegas a quick 2-0 lead in the first period of play and have completely dominated since. But hockey can be strange, Mo, where you can dominate and not win. We kind of saw with the Canadians. I don't think the Canadians dominated the Capitals, but there were large stretches of the game often and full periods where the Canadians were the better team, but Logan Thompson made saves and the Capitals bury the few chances that they get. They're good, you know, at scoring with limited shots on goal, this team. You know, the odds makers had Carolina as big favorites coming into this, so I think they sort of saw the same thing with Washington. But Edmonton and Vegas, I think the Oilers can come back tonight. I think the Oilers are going to win this series. Mo, what's your pick for the Oilers in the Vegas Golden Knights series?
I had Vegas winning in six, Gabe. I just think that they had a rudderless first round against Minnesota, and they kind of got their legs back in play when they went up 3-2 in the series against the Wild. I just think that for Vegas, a big part, they had better depth to work with. I think Mark Stone's been playing some great hockey of late. And also, you look at the goaltending, right? I think Aiden Hill as a goalie compared to what Edmonton has right now in their tandem is a lot more stable with less questions. Now, can he steal a game? If it's 1-1 going back to Edmonton for 3-4 and get it back to Vegas at 2-2, I just think that right now for what the Knights have as we speak, less question marks. And I think for the Oilers, do they have enough gas in the tank to go through another grind series given how many injuries they've suffered in the last, as we know, the few months of the season, that they're not fully healthy coming to this point of the playoff format that they're in right now going towards this series?
Listen, I like the Pacers coming into the playoffs, Mo. I thought they were a dangerous sleeper. What people were talking, you know what I mean, about, okay, you had Boston and you had Cleveland, and people just sort of assumed that they're on a collision course. People have sort of placed Oklahoma City into the finals. So we were talking about teams with bigger odds and people, like, you know, the Knicks came up and they were in the 10-1 range, and then you had the Pacers in, like, the 14-1 range, but I like the Pacers because they can score on anybody, right? And they play as a team. They play hard. They're not a perfect team. They, you know, they're not great on defense, but they do like each other. They have a good chemistry. They share the ball, and they don't give up on games. Like, they will just keep firing and chipping away. So I like this Pacer team, and the Cavaliers are in real trouble right now because the Pacers, like, have veterans. It's not like they're a bunch of kids. So I'm not sure. It's going to be hard to beat them right now that they just stole the two games. But what about the Knicks? Is this a sign of concern for the Celtics, or is this just status quo for the Celtics that, whatever, they didn't hit their three-point shots and they usually lose one game in a playoff series? Or do you think the Knicks can beat them?
No, Knicks are not going to beat them. There's no way they can win three more out of the next six games left in the series, Gabe. I think the way it played out yesterday with Boston, and it was an early sign when White was missing those threes in the first quarter, right? Like, I'm like, oof, he's off his mark today. And as you said before, 44 missed triples. That's unheard of, especially for a team like Boston. I think for the Celtics, they just kind of got a little bit lulled into this matchup in the third and fourth quarter, where it became a physical contest. It became key shot making, where it became loose offensive possessions for the Celtics that did not result in points for them, and turnovers going in favor for the Knicks that resulted in points for them. There was a swing game, I think, where it was a 6 or 7 point swing in favor of the Knicks, where the Celtics missed two or three shots in a row and could hit them. And I just think at this point now, going towards game two, I think adjustments will be key, but also the key for the Knicks, though, Gabe, is that they lack the depth on their bench play that can match up to Boston's bench play. And for Tom Thibodeau, you know, and I know, and being a Bulls fan that I am, Tibbs will run Jalen Brunson and his core five to the ground, because he probably realizes that in this series, I need my best to win this against the Boston Celtics in this best out of seven.
It's going to be a fun series, right? It's going to be a fun series. But everything went right for the Knicks, and everything went wrong for the Celtics, and it was still a 1 point game or whatever, right? So, you know, I mean, that is one way of looking at it as well. But we've got a series on our hands. This thing is, you know what I mean? The Knicks have another couple of wins in them, so can they get this thing to 6 or 7? And if they get it to 7, anything can happen. You know, we'll see how this plays out, but I've always got the feeling that that they weren't going to get back to the finals, Boston, that they were going to stumble along the way. We'll see about Cleveland's health situation right now, right? I mean, of course, tonight they didn't have Mobley, they didn't have Hunter, they didn't have Garland. And they could have won the game. Mitchell dropped 48 on them, and they still fall short. So I jumped in on Anthony Edwards at 10 points. He's still at 10 right now. What a terrible performance, Mo, for Anthony Edwards tonight, who – they like to push as the face of the league, the new face of the league often. And yeah, he has big games at times, but he's not a consistent superstar, as we see tonight. 4-15 from the field, 0-3 from three, and simply 10 points scored tonight. That's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable, and they got the blocks really slow tonight. This felt like that the T-Wolves were not fully focused in this game here. And when Draymond's hitting his shots in the first half, as he was, that's a problem, right? Especially with Steph going down with his hamstring injury. And you saw halftime what TNT said, look, rest Steph, go with what you have right now and kind of win with what's going forward. And Steve Kerr, Gabe, to his credit, has really rotated his bench options. He's gone, I think, 10-11 deep in the first half against the T-Wolves. And this thing now for Minnesota going towards game two is, what adjustments will you do? Can you attack the paint with what you have from a size standpoint and use that to your advantage? Because they do have better length and better size to work with. And I just think that this game one, the crowd was really quiet. They probably have a quiet night.
Let's roll. More on the other side with Mo Khan. This is Sports Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I want to get some football with Mo, but so tomorrow the Celtics are 10.5-point favorites over the Knicks, total 211. Our boy Paul Bovey will be with us after the game. Denver Nuggets get 11 against Oklahoma City, not getting a lot of respect this Denver team, total 229.5, and the Pacers are actually 2-point home underdogs against the Cavaliers on Friday night in an advanced line, but... So what do you expect tomorrow? To Boston to bounce back? And what do you think about game two with Denver and Oklahoma City, Mo?
I agree. I think Boston does bounce back. I think they'll be much more mature than what they were in the second half. I think Mazzulla will get these guys much more focused and have a better start to the first half of what it was. They did have a great start, but it wasn't a convincing effort. I think for Denver, here's the thing for OKC, Gabe. They had a relatively easy first round against Memphis. Not much of a pushback from the Grizzlies. Now you're getting the Nuggets, who probably had the best player in the world in Jokic, who was far dominant and superior in that matchup. My only concern for the Nuggets is their lack of bench play. And you look at the Thunder right now, as young as they are and as great as they've been the last couple of years, this is now a mature moment for them. How will they react in game two? Can they come out with an ace or two and, again, kill off the Nuggets and not keep them hanging around as they did in that second half last night?
All right, looking at the National Football League, we'll get most initial early picks here for the offensive and defensive rookie of the years in the National Football League. But here's an interesting list of props that are posted. Who will be the starting quarterback for these respective teams? Cleveland Browns, Joe Flacco is the favorite at minus 120. Kenny Pickett, plus 300. Shedeur Sanders, plus 400. Dylan Gabriel, 9-1. Deshaun Watson, 30-1. You know, Mo, listen, I think that Joe Flacco will be the starting quarterback in week one. Oh, and there it is. The Edmonton Oilers have just tied it 1 minute in. 1 minute into the period. 58 seconds to be exact. 19:02 mark. There it is. I don't know. They all got beards. I think it might be Brown, though. Was it Brown? No? Was it Draisaitl?
One of those guys.
The Oiler players, Mo, they got a lot of dudes that look the same. They have a lot of, like, red beard guys on their team. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of dudes that look the same. And it was Draisaitl swinging. Great hand-eye coordination by Draisaitl. Aiden Hill couldn't glove a puck. It was bouncing around, and Draisaitl sort of swung it out of the air from, like, the side of the net. Great, like, way in one motion, too. It was like a lot of guys wouldn't be able to pull that off, but there it is right there. Draisaitl with the game-tying goal. They were down 2-0. Here we go. We got a 2-2 game. All right, Mo, so listen, the fact that they have Joe Flacco as their starting quarterback says everything you need to know.
Yeah.
Nothing against Flacco, but the guy's 41, whatever the hell it is. He's an emergency type of quarterback. He's not a let's start our season type of quarterback guy, but it is what it is. Short of injury, I guess he will be the starting quarterback. What's your quick take? So I'll get to the other teams here. But what do you think is the starting quarterback week one in Cleveland?
I think Flacco will be week one starting quarterback. I think the Browns will trade someone at some point during training camp, right, Gabe? You know, and I know, and all your NFL fans know, some quarterback will get hurt during camp or early in the season. So those four quarterbacks that you listed, one will not be on that roster come week one in early September.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's going to be, I don't know, did they draft Dylan Gabriel just to cut him with a fourth-round pick, which is just insanity, but they are the Browns. Or not to cut him, but they could try. I don't know. We'll see. All right, the Colts. I don't want to waste too much time talking about the Browns. The Colts. Anthony Richardson's the favorite at minus 275. Daniel Jones is plus 220. Riley Leonard's 33-1. So it's not going to be Riley Leonard, short of mass injury here. But I'm not so sure that Daniel Jones doesn't beat Richardson out. You know they'd like for Richardson to win this job, but I'm not sure he'll be able to beat Daniel Jones out for the job. Daniel Jones is a good practice quarterback, Mo. You played football. You know what I mean? There's guys and quarterbacks that are good in practice, but they're not good in games. That's Daniel Jones. Like, Jones will impress them in practice and in camp, and you know what I mean? And then once the bullets start flying, he'll be like, son of a bitch, for a guy that's so smart from Duke, he does a lot of weird things. But I think he's got a puncher's chance to be the starter at plus 220. What's your call for the Indy?
I agree. I think Daniel has a great chance to be starting quarterback. I think for Anthony Richardson right now, he's only 22 years old, Gabe, right? His litmus test as a
with limited college games, too. It's not like the kid played 4 years and 50 games, you know?
Exactly, right? He needs time to play. He needs reps, right? I think he'll get that in camp. But I think right now, if the Colts are all in to win, and remember, you look at this staff right now with Chris Ballard as a GM, he has to win because he has to get this quarterback position right, which he's not done so. And if he fails on Anthony Richardson, he's done. And Ursay might just clean house altogether because of what he thought was going to be a new regime, new look. And right now it's not been to that so far with AR as a quarterback for this Colts team.
No, he's been a disaster. Let's call it out for what it is. I know, listen, your Raiders wasted a lot of picks over the years, right? From the Mayock era and guys that didn't make the team to getting arrested to kicked off and whatever to different things. There were a lot of wasted draft picks. But the Colts, Mo, they didn't have any starters from last year's draft. Like, they literally, like, they cut the guys from their fourth to seventh didn't make the team. They were, like, the first team ever, basically. they weren't even on the damn team. And they're just wasted picks, but I don't know how the hell me and Rick Saratella just talked about. I don't know how Tyler Warren fell all the way to them with a 14th pick, but we'll see how it plays out. But I think Daniel Jones, the plus 220, is not a crazy bet. As far as Rookie of the Year is concerned, Cam Ward and Ashton Gentry are co-favorites. Listen, I think Cam Ward's going to struggle with Tennessee. There's going to be a problem for him there. Do you like? Do you think Ashton Gentry is going to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year in the National Football League?
I think he has a very good chance to win it, Gabe. I think with the way the Raiders are structuring themselves and how they want to be a run-first team and have Geno throw the ball 20-25 times, I think he's going to get the rock at least 25 times. I think for Ashton Gentry, for what he brings from a fantasy football perspective, he can catch the ball very well out of the backfield. I think he'll be that Swiss Army knife for the Raiders. I think for Cam Ward, you're right about the fact that he might struggle at first because that O-line's still questionable. Playmakers are still lacking with Tennessee as we go into the training camp. So I think Ashton will be the guy to watch out for as being the favorite to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Cameron Ward plus 275, Gentry plus 275, Travis Hunter plus 750, McMillan with the Panthers 10-1, Hampton. Listen, I like Hampton a lot. I think he's getting a lot of touches with the Chargers too, but they also signed Najee Harris. More with Bolcon on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, I want to get to the best of X, but the Winnipeg Jets, that epic comeback the other night, and there's been so much talk about Connor Hellebuyck, but listen, Mo, it would be hard to do, but technically the Jets could lose every road game that they play in the playoffs and win the Stanley Cup. They have home ice in every series that they play in. And Connor Hellebuyck, right, for his road woes, and it's been bad, for his road woes, he's also 16-0-1 in his last 17 home games, right? So, like, you know, it's just this wild. I don't know if I've ever seen a home road split in any sport like this, like a run like this that he's going through. But with that being stated, I like the confidence that he showed in overtime. I saw the story that he told the players in the room. Trust me, they won't score. Like, you know what I mean? He had a little swagger in the room, and the Jets were like, oh, he's back. He's back now. He's back. And I think you're going to see he's back. I think they're going to carry this over tomorrow. Who do you like in game one tomorrow, the Jets or the Stars?
I'm going to take the emotional pull of the Jets right now. I mean, they were terrible in games 5, 6, and in part mostly for 7 until the third period of that epic comeback. But I think if Hellebuyck plays like he did in that third period and is locked in, it will be very hard. Even with Rantanen doing what he did in the third period against Colorado and going off like gangbusters out here, I think the Jets just have a little more to work with. And also from an injury perspective too, some lesser questions about Winnipeg's health situation than the Dallas Stars come into the series. So I think the Jets win game one tomorrow night.
All right, let's go to the best of X. We got a couple of posts that I want to share today. Let's roll it. Let's start off with this Bieber and Timothy Chalamet. A very popular actor right now. This kid seems to be everywhere, and Bieber's in the news because his life is falling apart. But here's, I don't know, BetMGM said Timothy Chalamet and Justin Bieber both declined invitations to the Met Gala to watch the Knicks game and the Maple Leafs game, respectively. And he said, they're just like us. And I'm thinking, yeah, Mo, just like us. We turned down an invite to go to the Met Gala and hang with Kylie Kardashian Jenner, whatever the hell her name is, and or just like us. No, I don't think we're just like us, and I don't want to be like Bieber. Timothy Chalamet's got it going on right now, but I don't want to be like Bieber. So that's what all of he's got money, but he's got more problems than money, this kid. But this next one is too good. Ooh, Vegas are pressing here on the power play. This next one's too good here, Mo. Here's Scottie Pippen. Man, he's got, you know, Scottie Pippen out here looking like the retired Redskins logo.
I saw this. That was crazy.
Looks like you could put him on the side of a football helmet. He really does. He looks like the low logo.
I thought it was Morgan Freeman from the profile look. I was like, wait, I couldn't believe it. Scottie Pippen aged. I don't know what happened with this guy. He's a good-looking guy.
He went out with that girl, Larry Pippen, wasn't it? I think this is what happened to him. It's just like he aged a lot.
I feel like it's AI generated, but again, this is him. This is unbelievable. This is really like
I was thinking the same thing, but it has to be a little excessive. I don't know. I think someone just put the hair on the head, but it really does look like the logo there. That's just too good. All right, Dumbo. CEBL basketball season is getting ready to tip off. So we're going to have another sport to bet on. Not every sports book has it, but some do. And we'll root out the ones to let everybody know. But which the teams that we should be keeping our eye on as the season's set to begin here, Mo?
So the three big teams will be the defending champions, Niagara River Lions, who had a phenomenal run last year under Coach Razzo. They brought back their core group. And again, CEBL is not your traditional sports league where it's more or less mercenaries you're hiring, like one-year deals with these guys here. But the guys that they brought in are definitely championship caliber. Scarborough Shooting Stars, that's a team owned by Drake's boys. They're always competitive, and they'll be in that conversation. And from the West, in your backyard, the Vancouver Bandits, they are a team that are going to be fascinating to watch. They could be a wild card in this whole process. They lost in the finals to Niagara last year in Montreal in the Final Four. So I think right now, if you have to pick, I think it would be Niagara and Vancouver in a rematch in the finals come late August this year.
Yeah, and you know what? The Vancouver Bandits, they're going to get some social media coverage, Mo, this year due to the fact that they signed Tristan Jass. So, you know, people, when you see this Jass kid, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I've seen him. He's that dunker kid, YouTube trick shot guy. But he's like, he's had better dunks at the All-Star games. You know, like, you know what I mean? He does, like, he puts on a show, and people are like, how come he's not in this? This kid is amazing. The Vancouver Bandits signed him. So, you know, we could see some highlight reels. We'll see if he can play in a real game now. Great stuff. Other than that, you're on your own later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.